Hey, we're live again. Go figure. We're live every night during this pandemic, during the crisis. I plan on doing 15 shows. I think this is episode 30 or 31, but I can't remember. I lost my awesome co-host. She's out doing kid stuff right now. And plus, she just turned 10. What does she want to be on a podcast with her dad? So anyway, welcome to Pick Rep, Piccolo's Report. This is your daily dose of positive. We bring on awesome guests. Talk about just, you know, positive stuff, some stuff like that may have been a strain, you know, good stuff. So I have a great guest tonight. Absolutely great. I've been following her on social media for a while. She's an inspiring story, and I love it, man. I love having great guests like this. So I'm going to bring Kirstie on. What's going on? How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. We were just talking about Skype calls and how everybody's background is like changing all the time. And it's different times for sure.
Absolutely.
So, hey, you have another event coming up soon, I believe tonight. You were putting out on social media.
Yeah. So I'm actually involved with an organization called Merging Vets and Players. And yeah. Typically, we interact with mainly combat veterans and retired professional athletes. But given the circumstances that we're facing as a society, as a country as a whole, we've opened our doors and opened our arms to our frontline heroes. So, fire service, medical services, first responders, police. Since I'm here and I have the airspace, if you guys are around and available in the next hour and you're one of our frontline heroes, please take the time to join us at mergingvetsandplayers.com. We would love to see you, love to work out, and love to chat.
Awesome. That's why I appreciate you coming on to this show first. I mean, it's awesome. And, one thing we're talking about is a lot of people know your backstory. You were injured in a war, a catastrophic injury, but you didn't let that hold you back. And like a lot of our previous guests, you've been injured and you went on to excel, almost like a superhuman excel at pretty much anything you put your mind to. And if I recall, like the first thing was snowboarding. Was that what you did after? That's kind of I lost a lot of me and I'm gonna become a snowboarder. That's really cool. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So ironically, I'm originally from Florida. After I got hurt in Afghanistan while serving as a helicopter door gunner in the Marine Corps, I really kind of lost myself. And ultimately, to find myself and to find that new purpose, I decided that I needed to get lost in the outdoors. And I guess what better place to do that and what better sport to do that than snowboarding in Breckenridge, Colorado. So again, being from Florida, knew nothing about winter or snow or mountains, but I fell in love with it and picked it up very quickly. And it was one of those things that just reminded me of my resiliency and my independence and the fact that I could do anything regardless of my injuries, whether that was the loss of my leg or the brain injury, so on and so forth. And I ended up, picking it up quickly and started competing with Team USA alongside their A team, if you will, and border cross and bank slalom. And eventually that segued into ultimately what I'm doing now in the big mountains with mountaineering and just paying it forward.
Yeah, this mountaineering thing is, it's quite incredible to hear the stories of everybody. I had Brian Dickinson on last night and we were talking Benjamin Breckheimer as well. Both two remarkable men. Benjamin himself was injured in Afghanistan and he's doing the same thing you're trying to do, the seven highest summits.
Yeah.
let's get into that. I mean, and how do you adapt to it? I mean, just even a common, I can't say common, but someone who's just an extreme athlete who wants to do something like that isn't limited. But you do have a limitation. And how do you adapt to the pain of it? I just always wanted to know. I mean,
maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but to me, the pain and the suffering makes it that much sweeter at the end. I don't think anybody, regardless of how physically abled you are, or how disabled you are, is really meant to be in the mountains and to be cruising along at high altitudes and chasing summit after summit. But I think it's one of those things, like if you are a mountaineer in the true definition of the word, your heart's in it. And for me, like, I think I've gotten to a point now where I don't climb for myself. I climb for everybody else who can't, or for everybody else who thinks that they can't. Mountaineering has really just turned into this big metaphor for me. So in those moments when it does suck or it does hurt just a little too much, I've figured out how to shift my perspective a little bit, you know, instead of focusing on how bad it hurts, I focus on what the end game is going to be. Like, I remind myself that I have the next move, no matter what the environment or what's going on in the world around me, I hold the next move for my life.
You know, that brings me, I had a discussion today for another podcast I was doing, and we talked about being an empath. And, you know, as I was growing up, I always had this thing about, you know, I always wanted to be like a policeman, a soldier or something like that. I ended up eventually doing that. But as you were growing up, and this kind of all circles back to what you're doing now, giving back, not just, you're not doing everything just for yourself, but growing up, did you always feel that need to always kind of give back, work with a team, be a team player, kind of the empathetic?
Yeah.
Definitely. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it's funny. So as I was telling you earlier, so I was raised by two Marine parents. So I think it's kind of one of those things that was always in my blood, you know, that willingness to serve. But growing up, it was kind of a toss up, you know, with my parents, like, was I going to be in the Marine Corps or was I going to get into social work? Because for me, it was always, what can I do for the people around me? And for me, I think my entire life, it's always been, my life's not meant to be lived for myself. You know, for me, it's, especially right now with everything that I'm, you know, I've dealt with and the things that I'm going through currently, it's, I thrive off of seeing other people succeed, you know, seeing other people be happy. I mean, you talked about your last guest, Benjamin, being on, and, you know, I sponsored one of his climbs, you know, as he's like competing with me to do the things that I'm wanting to do. So to me, it's like, I've really just been the kind of person that I'm fueled by seeing other people being happy and healthy and independent. Yeah, I don't know. I'm the kind of person that would take the shirt off my own back, but also beat myself the heck up to make sure somebody else is okay.
Yeah, there's a ton of the guests that show up on my shows do come from that same community, that same cut of cloth. And it a lot of it does come back to the shirt off your back. And that is one of the things, is the Kirstie Ennis Foundation. And did I pronounce your last name right?
It's Ennis, but
Ennis. The Kirstie Ennis Foundation, Jason. I am a doctor. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the thing about it is, I really do want to promote this out, is you're not just inspiring the veteran community, you're inspiring others and those that are in need, regardless of what their background is. It can be men, women, children. And I'm sure this comes from that same cut of cloth. Like, you know, you want to give back, you want to do this, but how hard was it to, you know, you're dealing with your own problems. We all have them, whether that's physical, mental, or whatever. And then all of a sudden you have a voice and you say, I'm going to start a foundation. What is that? I mean, what is that like to just, and it's a big foundation too. This isn't like, you know, mom and pop's 501c out of my back porch.
Yeah. Well, honestly, so the 501c3 thing, that was kind of a trip. I fought the idea for a very long time, and eventually a couple of really dear friends and some mentors rallied behind me and said, you have to do this now. You know, ever since I got out of the Marine Corps, it was really, again, trying to figure out how I could continue serving people beyond my military service. And so catapulting myself into fundraising and being ambassadors for these nonprofits that I believed in filled that, you know, purpose only so much. To me, like, I guess it was around 2018, you know, I started to really reflect on where I'd been and who had really come into my life and the opportunities and experiences and people that have come into my life. And I decided that it was my time to pay it forward. I think it would be really selfish of me to not try and give the same opportunities that I've been given to other people. So that's really where my foundation stemmed from. I mean, we remain 100% volunteer based, which is crazy. So we have no paid staff. We have very little overhead with, you know, no big structures for rent or any of that. But yeah, I mean, we've helped, gosh, it's something like 187 people through our programming. We've given away 9 grants now to different nonprofit organizations. And kind of to piggyback off of what you said, it's not just about helping the veteran community. Obviously, the veteran community has the biggest piece of my heart. But, you know, as a young woman, when I was in the hospital, I didn't have that role model that I needed or wanted. So I have a soft spot for women and kids that are also going through the same things that I'm going through or went through. So to me, it's just, you know, being able to really help people through some of the struggles that they're dealing with. I mean, I think honestly, as cheesy as it sounds, especially right now, you know, we're stronger together. So I want to show up for other people just like other people showed up for me.
Oh, I like how you brought that. Man, I'm trying to remember if we talked about it on the air because we've only been on for 10 minutes or before the air. So it's like, one of the things you mentioned was you have a voice and you have a following and you're well-respected in the community. And so you're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give back. And I look at your social media. I've been, like I said, I've been following you for a while. And then what pops up today is building homes for heroes. So you're not just doing the your foundation. You're also you're popping up all over, like tonight, merging vets and heroes. It's just, how do you have enough time to do that? And I shouldn't say time, we have time, but how do you get involved with everything and keep track of everything? And how can we help you get involved with everything and keep track of everything?
You know, honestly, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I could give to anyone is just, you know, find something that you're passionate about and go after it. I think that's what really makes life fulfilling. And for me, so when I come across these organizations that I truly believe in what they're doing, and when I can see those success stories, and when I can semi-selfishly be a part of those success stories, I will find time, I will make time, I will find the energy or make the energy to be able to help those people. You know, I mean, like I said, a lot of them really are veteran related. But to me, you know, if I can do things the hard way through my recovery or through what I'm doing in the mountains or with the foundation or school or my career, whatever it is, and it make it that much easier for somebody else, like I want to be able to find those bridges so that I can like share with them, you know, what I've been through. And if I can make it that much easier for somebody else, then I want to do it. Again, I think that's what makes, you know, life complete at the end of the day, when you can look back and say, hey, you know what, I touched this many lives, or I was involved in this many stories or this many families. To me, that's what makes it worthwhile. I mean, yeah, I think when you find the things that you love and the things that you're passionate about, it's easy, it's natural.
You know, I'm glad you said that because, and I'll say that a lot to everybody because I always pick up, so I've been in law enforcement for so long that it like, you know, 20 plus years, but I'm always like, when I first started doing these interviews, I'd do like interview and interrogations. I always pick up on something someone says and I'm like, I bring it back up. But outside of climbing, outside of giving back, outside of sporting, what is another passion that you have?
Okay.
Solely for you, not for anybody else.
Ooh, solely for me. Outside of sporting, that's hard. So everyone's always like, oh, how do you relax? But I guess the way that I relax really is in the mountains. But I'm also extremely obsessive about learning. So I have 3 master's degrees, even though I had a hole blown through my face, had severe damage to my right frontal lobe. I absolutely love school. I have 3 master's degrees. I'm working on a doctorate in education because obviously once these sports start to hurt quite a bit more in the next 10 years, I want to be able to inspire the next generation in a different way. But on top of all of those degrees, in my free time or my spare time, my downtime, I have a real estate license, a Series 7 license, a personal trainer certification. Like the list goes on and on. And if you could see my library of books, absolutely out of control. But honestly, like that's one thing that I value quite a bit is just being able to learn, being able to absorb and gain new knowledge. So everything, like normally if we were off the camera and we had ample time, I'd just be asking you why about everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, there's a lot you get out of education. And I always tell people, you don't have to be book smart. You don't have to have the degrees on a wall. Always keep on learning. I was the same way. I had the master's, the doctorate. But I'm always wondering, what more can I learn? When's the book coming out?
Well, so if you can't tell, I don't really have the attention span to write my own book. But yeah, I am actually working on one. So hopefully in the next year, I'll be out on the shelves.
Okay, Kirstie. Well, you brought it up now, the attention span. And I bring this up to everybody that wants to write a book. Mind maps, people, mind maps. Write down what you want in the middle. your topic, and then you just map it all out. And then every night, once you're committed, you write a little bit about any one of those topics in your life that you want to write about. And by the time you're done with it, you'll have 60,000 words, which is great for a nonfiction memoir. That's my Dr. Jason Piccolo advice for tonight. And then you can throw a book up with your this is a selfless plug. Then you can have the book with, you know, Dr. Kirstie on it. So I'm looking forward to the book. I'm excited because you have such a background, and it's not about a book about you. It's about how you have given back, about inspiration. And these interviews to me are almost like people are writing their books, but it's like an audio book, and listening to your stories is amazing. Listening to your story is even more amazing because of what you've done. I really do want to talk about your climbing and how you prepare for that. Do you have like a personal trainer that comes and says, "Hey, you know what? This is a mountaineer. I know him or her is going to help me out and do this." Or one day you're just like, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to read a book and I'm going to look at some YouTube videos and I'm going to climb Mount Everest."
Wow, man. Well, that's a tricky one. So, I mean, honestly, I feel like all good mountaineers had a mentor of some sort, you know, like this isn't a sport that you can read about in a book and then just go out on a whim and say, okay, I got this. I had some really amazing people come out of the woodworks to teach me like the technical skill sets and obviously the safety aspects and glacier travel and, you know, the laundry list of things. But beyond like learning those foundational things, it's honestly just time in the saddle. Like if I have time to be in the mountains, if I have time to be hiking or backpacking, I am out there doing it. Because you can go to the gym, you can do all this conditioning and any of the strength things that you want, but there's nothing that compares to being in the outdoors, putting one foot in front of the other, again, sucking wind, struggling all the way to the top of whatever summit you're going after. Honestly, it's incomparable. So, I mean, I'm ruthless with it. You know, if you looked at my climbing resume, if you will, since 2017, I've done 5 of the 7 summits, to include Everest, Denali, Elbrus, Aconcagua. I'm missing some. Kirsten's. You know, so there's a big laundry list of these climbs and intertwined and all that. You know, I've gone down to Ecuador to climb a couple of times. I've gone all over the world climbing, and I literally do not give myself time to be out of mountain shape. Like I'll come home for a month, and then I'm back on a mountain in a different country somewhere else. So in 2019, I spent 4.5 months on expeditions. It's kind of crazy.
So for Benjamin and Brian that are out there watching right now, Denali, the one that got away, yes. they're both railing for that one. So what is next? What is after the mountains?
Oh man. I don't really.
Is it going to be like surfing or are we going to?
Well, I do want to learn how to surf, but no. So I'm, if you haven't figured out by now, I'm pretty ambitious. On my radar right now, I plan to do 7 marathons, 7 continents, 7 days. So the World Marathon Challenge, the Great Divide. So about a 3,000 mile transcontinental mountain bike ride. And then I also want to swim the English Channel. So back in 2015, I did a 1,000 mile walk of the UK to honor 25 Marines that never made it home. So over the next couple of years, I want to bring it back to the UK and hopefully be one of the first women amputees to ever swim the English Channel.
I saw that the English Channel, that's going to be good. And if I could go over to Europe, my friends are still there, I will cheer you on gladly. What about the Appalachian Trails? Why don't you just hop on the old Appalachian Trail and knock that one out? It seems like so, and I can't say it's easy. It's not, but it just seems like the world is, you have an unlimited opportunity and access. And that is really cool.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I mean, I think the reality of everything that I'm doing is I figured out how to suffer well. I have honestly mastered the art form of being comfortable with being uncomfortable. So to me, all of these things that really are uncharted territory for above the knee amputees, like I want to go after it. You know, I don't mind if I do absolutely miserably at it, if it makes it that much easier for somebody else, if it opens the door for somebody else to be able to do it, or if it's, you know, somebody can come up with a stronger strategy or a better piece of equipment to make disabled people be able to get out there and get after it, then I want to do it. So for me, like, sure, I think snowboarding will always be my first love. mountaineering is a close second, but I want to be able to intertwine this mountain biking thing, swimming, mm-hmm. running, all of these things that people think are just so outlandish for people like me. And, I mean, they're not. You just have to be gritty enough to actually try.
I like it. I do. Here comes the tough questions. Tattoos. Tattoos. Yeah. What does your mom think about your tattoos? And when was your first tattoo?
Oh, yeah. So my mom is not very impressed with some of them. I've got some that are... I've got a one-legged troll, for example. It's just not very flattering. So my mom doesn't have a single tattoo, but I am definitely my father's child. He's also covered in tattoos. And my first tattoo was when I was 17 years old, because I joined the Marine Corps at 17. And as soon as I graduated boot camp and got to A school down in Pensacola, my dad and I went to the little tattoo shop, and I got my nice Semper Fi Dellis tattoo on my back.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I'm all over the place. Running out of room on my arms are done, but I just can't. When this thing's over with, I'm going to get tattoos. But yeah, I just noticed that, like, when I was looking through your social media and stuff, I was like, man, you got a lot of tattoos. When was the last one you got?
Actually this one, little K2 mountain. So I got it right after Everest, actually. So K2 is the mountain that, if I had it my way, it is the mountain that I would go climb in a heartbeat. But it has about a 29% death rate for people with all of their limbs. Can only imagine what it is for somebody with three limbs. So it's definitely a dream. But I always say, if I ever find out I'm like terminally ill or anything, I'm going to K2.
Just watch the classic 80s or 90s movie with Michael Biehn, K2.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's my little... my IMDb database in my head. Okay, this is, I would ask, but you're from Florida. We're not going to ask you the bagel question. What, you know what? Why not? What is your favorite bagel?
Bagel?
Yeah.
An everything bagel.
Okay.
Why?
Everything bagel with anything on it?
Yes.
Okay. Everything on it.
Everything on it.
Now, because I have a lot of people that come from like New York or New Jersey to come on to the podcast, and I'm always asking them, like, actually, I'm not. My normal co-host, Alicia, outside of my daughter, always asks, what's your favorite bagel? And we start talking about bagels, and it's just like, ugh. New York bagels right now. That's like, I'm outside of D.C., and there's no bagels here that are anything like it. Oh, gosh.
Fair enough.
Okay, Kirstie, here's the absolute – hardest question, because my daughter came up with this one, and it stumps everybody. If you could go back in time, and this is not your life in general,
okay,
there's no butterfly effect, meaning if you did something in the past, it's not going to affect the future. If you could go back in time and change anything, what would you change? But here's a caveat. The previous guests have said they've already killed Hitler. Someone's reformed Hitler. We've saved JFK. We've stopped 9/11. Franz Ferdinand didn't get killed, and someone already had coffee with Aristotle. So everything else is up in the air. Whatever you want to do, if you could change anything, or you don't have to change anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those other examples are all really good. Mine would be pretty selfish, honestly.
Oh, it's fine. Believe me.
I don't know. Okay. So this probably not your typical answer, but if I could change one thing, try to make this short, but so on my deployment, when I got hurt, I got hurt on June 23rd, 2012. And in January, 2012, we had a helicopter go down that killed all six crew members. Ugh. And, their call sign that night was Irontail 06. The call sign of my helicopter when I went down was Legacy 07. And the helicopter that I was on when I was on the left door gun, helicopter that I was on that went down was the memorial helicopter for them. Had their names painted on the sides. It was actually aircraft 06. The 50 cals were painted for them and everything. And I say all the time, the reason that I fared as well as I did, the fact that my crew and I fared as well as we did, was because the boys of Irontail 06 didn't repeat itself. And I think if I could change any one thing about the past, is I would keep that helicopter from going down, so that those boys didn't have to let history, you know, repeat itself, or prevent it from repeating itself. I think about that all the time. So that's what I would change.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, you amaze me. And I just, I'm really, really impressed with you and your strength, determination. One thing that was brought up on your webpage is someone did a testimonial of you and they said charisma. And there's an absolute charisma about your words, about your saying, about, and this isn't a, you know, a cursy puff piece. This is a reality, is that you do have a charisma, and that gives you a great voice, and your actions, they're really, you're doing a lot for the community and not just the veteran community. And I really thank you for coming on. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm glad you found me.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for social media. And thanks for everybody getting locked up in their house. I could actually take some time and look for great guests like you. Hey, you have a hat coming out soon. I'm excited for it. Let's put up where we could find your foundation. Is online. If you guys look below, you can see it. Or you can just do the good old fashioned thing that I always do. Google.
There you go.
And we can find you everywhere. Kirsty, anything you'd like to say before we go?
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, if I could leave everybody with one thing, is it's the 6 inches between your ears and what's behind your rib cage. So keep your head and heart in the right place. And Jason, thanks for having me. I appreciate the support.
Thanks. Kirsty, if you could just hold on for 1 second, I'm going to do an outro. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me tonight live on Pick Rep. And thank you for whoever came. I got to look back on my social media and who came up with Pick Rep. I think that was kind of cool back when I first said, who wants to do a title for a nightly show? I haven't done it in a few minutes, a few episodes, but give a big shout out to OSD, Outperform, Support, and Develop. I'm their director of corporate philanthropy. I can get that word down. Right now, foundations such as Kirsty's and OSD and everybody else are really hurting. If you can support them, either that be monetary or even just sharing social media posts or just giving, saying, hey, you know what? Thanks for doing what you're doing. Please do it. Now is the time to kind of reach out. I brought it up today about mental health, and I will be talking about it more on the upcoming shows. But now is a time that we do a mental health check. Take a minute. Figure out where you're at, and not only check on yourself, but check on your neighbors, check on your friends, check on your family. And that could be a text, a call, a FaceTime. Just try to take a second out and think about yourself, give yourself a mental health check. And just, like I say every day, be safe. Thank you, everybody. Hey, thanks a lot. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It goes quick too. I keep thinking, I'm like, 27 minutes. I'm never going to have enough time to, it's just like, I'm like, usually I have a co-host because I run out of things to say after a while. I'm so used to just gabbing, but yeah, whatever I can do to help your foundation or anything, feel free to keep in contact with me. And you never need to ever see anybody that's a guest or anything. Feel free. I have been getting some great guests. The Protectors has a ton of awesome guests as well. So I like to get you on that show when I get the podcast back going too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just stay in touch and let me know. I had fun and I appreciate you not asking the same questions that everybody else does.
Everybody. And you know, that's the thing, is that the community is so small. Everybody, in a way, it's small. Everybody knows everybody's backstories. I want to know like different things. And,
I like the questions that actually make me think.
So
you did good.
Cool. So what I'll do tonight is this is already on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. What I'll do is I'll do like a little 2 minute commercial that'll go up on Instagram. Feel free to promote it out or whatever. Yeah, anything.
For sure.
Cool. And whatever I can do to help in the future, anything, keep in touch. If you ever want to be in any other podcast or anything, I know a lot of the people in the community and anything else. So feel free.
For sure. Cool.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. Well, yeah, definitely stay in touch.
Yeah, you too.
All right. We'll see you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Take care and have fun tonight.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay. Be safe. Thanks.
Bye.